Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to introduce to you the four different and exciting personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud, Paul Merton, and Jimmy Mulville. Will you please welcome all four of them? Our producer, talented secretary Anne Ling, sits beside me. She has a stopwatch in one hand, which I read for the time. She has a pen to put down the scores. She has a whistle, which she blows when 60 seconds are up. And I have the subjects in front of me, and I'm going to ask all four at different times, of course, to speak, if they can, on the subject I give them. And they will try and do that, as always, without hesitation or repetition or deviating from the subject. Clement Freud, will you take the first round? The subject is bags. You can take it in so many different ways. Will you talk on the subject starting now?
The way I would like to take bags is an item of luggage. Now, the odd thing about bags when I first was able to afford one was I went to Switzerland, and when I came out of the train, the porter put a chalk mark onto my bags, denoting that I was a light tipper. And as a result, when I got to the hotel, I got the most appalling service. The people in this hostelry investigated my bags and found the hieroglyphics, which were two strokes and a circle, to denote that I would leave very little money in return for services rendered. I think this is an absolutely revolting, disgusting, unpleasant, and nasty thing to do, as you would expect the Swiss to behave normally, especially if you...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
He's no longer talking about bags. He's talking about his inherent meanness.
I don't know if it's talking about that, but I think he had got off the subject of bags onto the subject of the Swiss. So we give you a point for a correct challenge of deviation, and say there are 13 seconds left, and you take over the subject of bags, Derek, starting now.
Bags, in the sense of women, it can be applied to the ladies who were actually following the troops in days of old. They came along with the baggage, and that is why they were so named bags. Now, there is a public...
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. And it was on this occasion Derek Nimmo and Paul Merton. Will you take the next round? Walking the dog. Will you tell us something about that in this game starting now?
I haven't got a dog, but I've often dreamed of having one. And if I did own such an animal, what I would do would first of all purchase a lead, because I think that's the best way to walk a dog. It's no good expecting it just to run off and then it come back at some time or other, because it won't. It'll get a job somewhere. It'll perhaps drive in HGV lorries. Oh, I thought somebody challenged me. No, he didn't. or run its own business delivering parcels in the West End area. These are the sort of things that dogs get up to. So that's why owners make sure that they control their dogs by a very long piece of rope or twine.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Presentation of a rope.
Of a rope, because he was trying not to say lead again. Derek, you've got him with another point for a correct challenge. And 28 seconds, walking the dog, starting now.
Walking the dog is something which used to be done by the governor's wife in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia in the last century. And in consequence of that, the cricket pitch around which you used
and
to walk
Clement
to
Freud
this
challenged.
Day.
Deviation.
Why?
It wasn't called Malaysia in the last century.
It's called now.
No, it became Malaysia after independence. It was Malay Straits before then. And Clement, as we go out to every country, including the Malaysia, I'm very glad you drew their attention to that, and you get a point for doing so.
What was it called then, Nick?
Yes. The Malay Straits.
No, just called Malaya. Or the Straits
No, before
Settlement.
That it was called the Malay Straits.
The Straits Settlement. No, it wasn't never called Malay Straits. It was called the Straits Settlement.
I have got postage stamps at home in my album with Malay Straits written across them. Who did put a challenge for?
The subject's walking the dog.
A bonus point to Paul Merton. The subject's with Clement Freud. 17 seconds left, Clement. Walking the dog, starting now.
It is, of course, essential to have a dog in the first place, but when you have such an animal, put your left foot in front of your right and then repeat the process and see whether the canine friend will not follow or go on ahead. This is called walking the dog, a job often done by butlers.
Well, On that occasion, Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went, gained that all-important extra point. He's now in second place, Derek Nimmers in the lead, and Derek, your turn to begin. The subject, 1066, a date that everybody in our country knows about, one of the first things they learn at school. Will you tell us something that you learned about it, starting now?
The first memorable thing that happened that year was the death of Edward the Confessor, who named as his successor King Harold, as he subsequently became after the coronation. But then there immediately arose a rebellion in the north of England led by Tostig, and he managed to get the ruler of Norway to join him in this revolt. And the troops marched north, north.
What's your ball? Yes.
Lapsing into Middle English.
That's right. Yes, they marched them. I thought you were going to have him for showing off, actually, but...
I was a bit waiting to hear where Derek played an important part in this.
Yes, well, it did seem to come from memory, didn't it? Paul, you have 34 seconds to tell us something about 1066, starting now.
1066 are the four digits that formed the last...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
I only hesitated.
No, I don't think it is.
You think so? Oh, I thought so, yes. I mean,
definitely not.
No, this is the way the sound carries.
Nobody in the audience.
Oh, right.
Nobody
right.
in the audience.
Oh, well, I'm quite prepared to admit that you can't hear.
Yeah. They don't want to hear any more from you on 1066. They were bored to death in marching up to the north. And 30 seconds for you, Paul, with another point. 1066, starting now.
1066... Fulton.
Jimmy Mulville challenge.
That was hesitation.
That was hesitation, Jimmy. Yes, well done. Nice to hear from you.
Well, I couldn't get a word in edgeways, you see.
I know. You haven't heard quite as much, but you've got in. Lovely to hear from you again. 27 seconds, 1066, starting now.
It is a year in which the Normans came over to this country and brought with them all manner of different forms of language. Before that, we had to use Anglo-Saxon and the bits that the Romans didn't want. Then we were forced to use words like...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Forced.
What was the other force he had?
They were forced, and then they were forced to use bits of the Romans.
I know he said it. But
so that make one and one makes two, Nick, you see.
I know. But you see, also occasionally, I'm generous, because when somebody has only played the game for about the third or fourth time, you've only played in the last series once,
I
actually pretend I didn't hear. And
right. Oh, yes, good. Yes.
All right. Okay.
I thought it was a battery running down.
Yeah. No, I don't have a pacemaker like you, Jerry. 10 seconds with you, Jimmy, still on 1066.
I was once at university with a man whose great claim to fame was that his family came over with the Normans.
Clement Freud challenged.
Two Normans.
Yes, I'm afraid I can't.
In the last go, wasn't it?
Yes, I know.
Oh, I see. It's a continuous item.
It's in this round, though. It was in the last time you
were... I stayed at home and watched television. Yeah.
Probably see yourself. You're on so frequently.
There's a bitter man.
I've said before, Derek, it takes one to recognise one.
Now, girls, please.
There are 4 seconds for Clement to keep going on 1066, starting now.
1066 was a very poor year for comedians. They were virtually...
Well, at the end of that round, Clement Freud is in the lead. He's only 1 point ahead of Paul Merton and Derek Nimmo equal, and then one behind them comes Jimmy Mulville, who will be in the next round. Jimmy, alternative comedy. You started there, but you've moved into the mainstream, as it's called. But can you talk on the subject starting now?
I doubt it, but let me try. I think that people get mixed up when they think of alternative comedy. You see, it didn't actually begin in the late 70s, early 80s. It does, in fact, go back to the court of Henry VIII, who was fed up listening to mother-in-law jokes, having had 6 wives. And he called his fool to him and said, "Look, I am really..."
And Derek Nimmo got in first.
It was a very nasty F, which he changed to something else.
So what were you challenging for?
Hesitation.
Hesitation,
yeah.
Right. 38 seconds on alternative comedy, Derek, starting now.
Well, of course, it really goes back to King Harold, who was greatly influenced by Normandy when they shot him in the eye, and he had to go for alternative comedy to Westminster Abbey.
Jimmy Mulville challenge.
He's talking gibberish.
I don't think that is alternative comedy. No,
alternative comedy is gibberish.
No. Oh, no.
There's a bitter man.
There's a bitter man.
There was nothing comic about being shot in the eye, so I agree with your challenge. You have 27 seconds on alternative comedy starting now.
The definition of an alternative comedian is someone who has made his name sniping at the establishment and makes his fortune doing adverts for it. This little phenomenon of comedy goes back to about 1980 in this area of London, Soho. People like Rick Mayall, Alexei Sale, Peter Robinson, Robbie Coltrane...
Paul Merton challenge.
Deviation, I've never heard of Peter Robinson.
He didn't do very well. He was a bit of a one-night stand man. He then changed his name to...
Doesn't he own
Alistair
chain of...
Burnett.
D.H. Evans.
D.H. Evans,
D.H. Evans, yes. Right, I agree. He very cleverly, he almost bluffed us out, but
actually, Paul... he was actually in a show called Cliffhanger, Peter Robinson, who changed his name to Peter something else.
Yes, but he wasn't very alternative.
How am I doing?
I'm swayed by your powerful argument.
That's right, yes. But Paul Merton, who's made a great success in alternative comedy, will now talk on the subject with 7 seconds to go, starting now.
Such a success have I made in this chosen career, I find myself sharing a stage with Nicholas Parsons.
You have gained an extra point then for seeking the whistle wind, and you are now in the lead at the end of that round. And Clement Freud, your turn to begin again. The subject is burglars. Will you tell us something about those in this game, starting now?
Burglars are people who take things which do not belong to them, rather like comedians who steal jokes from Arthur Haynes or Nicholas Parsons, who would not be good people from whom, to whom, of whom.
You challenge, Paul.
Repetition of whom?
Whom, yes. That's right, yes, because he didn't quite deviate, but nearly. 47 seconds. Burglars, Paul, starting now.
About a year ago, I had a burglar. I was lucky. I disturbed him. I said, there is no God. But he was a kind of individual who likes to rob people of their possessions when they're not in, hopefully. And I disturbed him outside.
And Derek Limmer challenged.
Too disturbed.
Yes, he was too disturbed. I'm sorry. Yeah. 30 seconds are left for burglars. It's you, Derek, starting now.
The last time I had an intrusion by a burglar, I just had a heart bypass, and I was lying on my bed, and a cello smashed the door down, came in, and took all kinds of possessions from me, which I greatly valued, and I miss sincerely. I then have put in all manner of devices to prevent them. I have pads and locks, and alarms to go directly to the police station. And I've joined Neighbourhood Watch, and I ask you all to join that particular organisation because it's very worthwhile.
Such a pathetic story, nobody dared to challenge him. But well done, Derek. You kept going to the whistle end. You gain an extra point for doing so, and you'll be in the lead now with Paul Merton equal, and then comes Clement, and then Jimmy Melville. And Paul, your turn to begin. The bottom line. Take it any way you wish, but talk on the subject, starting now.
The bottom line can often be referred to as well as VPL, which is visible panty line, which the women in the audience no doubt will know what I'm talking about. It's a rather unsightly ridge you sometimes have appear at the back.
Derek Nimmer, son.
Two sometimes.
Yeah, two sometimes. Tough challenge, but it's correct.
Not particularly tough, it's just perfectly obvious. He says sometimes twice and you press the button. I don't think there is...
But sometimes I've noticed you're all very sporting and let someone get underway so that, you know, you can have a bit of a flair and flourish from them before you challenge with a tough one. 47 seconds are left on the bottom line with you, Derek, starting now.
I suppose you can call the bottom line on the boat the plimsoll line. He was an MP, a gentleman of that name, for Derby, and he brought in an act for the shipping bill of 1887 because vessels were being tremendously overloaded, and even more importantly, Paul Merton challenged.
With deviation, we're talking about the shipping bill of the last century now.
And the bottom line, to bring in the Plimsoll line.
No.
The pencil line isn't the bottom line.
No, the brimstone.
It's the bottom line to which they're allowed to be loaded.
No, he didn't. I must listen to it. Paul actually didn't challenge for that. And just to show you how fair I am after the things Derek says to me, he didn't challenge for the fact that it isn't the bottom line, which I would have agreed with if you challenged for that.
That was my second point.
Yeah. And he was still, to my mind, talking about the plimsoll line, which in his mind he'd established was the bottom line. So, Derek, I'm being generous and saying you have the benefit of the doubt. Another point to you, 31 seconds, the bottom line, starting
if
now.
If you're preparing a set of accounts, you put at the top your income, which might come from a variety of sources, and you add all that together and subtract from it the expenses that you have incurred. And at the bottom, beneath, you will have what they call the bottom line, which means you've either made profit or indeed, perhaps, if you've been unlucky enough and injudicious enough, a loss.
And you've got to, Clement.
Repetition of enough.
That's right, yes, I nearly said it, I'm sorry.
Not an important word, but he said it twice.
Yes. And he said it very deliberately, too, so, Clement, 5 seconds for you on the bottom line, starting now.
When I went to have a skin graft, they looked at my posterior and said, surely that is...
And the intriguing thing about Just a Minute is that we will never know about Clement Freud's posterior and what happened when they looked at it after they'd seen the skin. Because the whistle went, he gained an extra point for speaking at that moment. He's equal with Paul Merton in second place behind Derek Nimmo, and then is Jimmy Melville. And Derek, your turn to begin. The subject is stoppers. Will you tell us something about stoppers in Just a Minute, starting now?
Best kind of stoppers for a bottle of wine probably are made from cork. In fact, actually, they're always made from cork. Which can...
And Paul Merton challenged.
Repetition of cork, I'm
absolutely
afraid.
Yes. And
a little word, but
well,
I mean...
Yeah. 52 seconds are left for stoppers with you, Paul, starting now.
Stoppers is a piece of football jargon. It's a phrase that managers talk to describe about old-fashioned centre-halves, and there's a sentence and a half indeed. Mm. It is a...
Jimmy Melville, you've got in on that one.
He sort of stopped himself, didn't he?
He stopped himself. Hesitation and deviation, but you've got in and you have a correct challenge. 41 seconds to tell us something about stoppers, starting now.
The best stopper I ever saw was a man called Maurice Setters, who wasn't an alternative comedian, but in fact, the way he played football, he did used to get a few laughs. His method of playing that particular game was to stop anybody.
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of playing?
No, he didn't say playing before.
No. I said forcing twice, but I didn't say playing.
No. 27 seconds for you, Jimmy, on stopper, starting now.
And this was a very, very...
Clement challenge.
Repetition.
Of what?
West Bromwich Albion. Very, very...
I might disagree, but he did say very, very, yes, I agree with that one. 22 seconds on stoppers, starting now.
There was an awfully jolly sort of sweetmeat called a gobstopper, which you put in your mouth, which made it absolutely impossible for you to speak, which would have been enormously helpful for anyone playing Just a Minute or other similar pursuits. Stoppers in football are, as has very rightly been said, people who are the opposite of strikers in that they prevent...
Clement Freud is now equal on the lead with Derek Nimmo, and then comes Paul Merton, and then Jimmy Melville. And Jimmy, your turn to begin. The subject, throwing a party.
Throwing a party is a subject very close to my heart. In the old days, when I was in my 20s, it was no sweat at all. Just a bottle of wine, a lump of cheese, some friends, a room, and there you had it, a very good party. Today, it seems that we need some kind of a reason to throw a party, a theme. And it is these sort of parties against which I rail. Today, we have 20s parties where people come dressed as the Depression, 30s parties, 40s parties.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Hello, Derek, come in.
Sorry. Yes, I can't think of a challenge at the moment.
I wish I could help.
We'll just have a game of cards, and you think of one, and then will you...
22 seconds for you, Jimmy, to carry on with throwing a party.
I've been to a 60s party, a 70s party, an 80s party, and last week I went to a 90s party. I've been to a party...
Derek, never challenge.
He went. He went to a 60s
party. Yeah, he went to a 70s. You went too often. You also repeated 80s, 90s, and 60s. Anyway, there are 12 seconds for you, Derek, on throwing a party starting now.
Last night, a very dear friend of mine called Derek Pico, who runs the Sheraton Park Tower Hotel, threw the most wonderful party. We had fireworks, and it was for the Savoy Gastronomes.
Jimmy Melville Chan.
Not hesitation, and I thought you weren't allowed to advertise on the BBC.
Well, you're not officially allowed to advertise, but...
Well, he was plugging one of his mates' gas, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Sheraton Park Hotel. But pretty ropey as well, actually.
But the rules I have to try and stick to
is... for lunch there this week.
If he doesn't hesitate, deviate, or repeat himself...
I thought there was a slight hesitation as well, actually.
But it's a bit late now to come in with that one, Jim.
Well, it's better
late
than ever,
isn't it? Hesitation.
Yes, well...
he nicked my hesitation.
Yes, that's right. But, Derek, you still have 2 seconds to tell us something about throwing a party starting now.
The best part I ever went to was on DJ.
Clement Freud Challenge.
He's already talked about the best one.
Party. Mm. It was the best party once before.
That's right.
Yes. So... that's what happens if you get interrupted, isn't it? That 1 second, Clement. Well done. Throwing a party starting now.
RSVP.
Clement's now in the lead at the end of that round, but only single points separate them all in descending order. And it's also your turn to begin, Clement. The subject is Marconi. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Marconi was one of the few Italians who did not have a pasta named after him, which is more than you can say about macaroni, probably a distant relative. And the type of fettuccine to which he gave his name was the hull of spaghetti.
A Paul Merton challenge.
Deviation. We're talking about pasta now.
We're on to pasta and fettuccines and all of yes. We're off Marconi.
What did you do with Marconi?
No. I think you were definitely off the subject, deviating, and Paul Merton got in with the correct challenge. 44 seconds, Marconi, Paul, starting now.
One of my old school chums who I remember from many years ago was Eric Marconi. What a wonderful boy he was. He was so clever at all the different lessons in the school. He was good at mathematics, history, English, woodwork, technical drawing, geography, French, Spanish, German, Russian, Latin, chemistry, biology, physics, and he was quite good at sports as well. Yeah. Football, cricket.
Kevin Freud challenge.
Repetition of good.
Oh, yes. You didn't deserve that after reeling off all those subjects. Well done, Paul. Almost as own a bovinus for that. But Clement got in with a correct challenge. 15 seconds on Marconi, starting now.
He was into communications quite heavily. And Jack the Ripper, or one of those fairly famous criminals.
Paul Merton challenge.
Deviation. It was, in fact, Dr. Crippen.
Dr. Crippen.
Who was... what are you talking about?
Well, what are you... we don't know what you're talking about. What's the connection between Marconi and Jack the Ripper?
Just wait for it.
I'm prepared to wait for it.
All right, you're prepared to wait for it. Let's see what happens then. 8 seconds on Marconi. Clement, starting now.
Might have been caught as quickly as Dr. Crippen. Have the same scientific...
Sorry, Paul has challenged you again.
I waited, and I still think it's deviation.
You think that he would not have been caught as quick as Dr. Crippen?
No, because Crippen was caught because he was on a transatlantic liner, and they radioed ahead and said, Dr. Crippen's on this boat.
Jack the Ripper was never caught.
Paul, you have a correct challenge, and you want him with 1 second to go on Marconi, starting now.
Marconi!
Clement Freud and Paul Merton are now equal in the lead. Just two ahead of Derek Nimmo, and one behind that is Jimmy Melville, and we move into the last round, so anybody could win. The subject is manners, and it's Paul Merton's turn to begin. Paul, will you start talking now?
Some people say that manners aren't what they used to be. They look back to some golden age where men were chivalrous and society...
Derek Nimmo, challenge. I think that was hesitation, yes, his manners... Derek got in on 52 seconds on the subject, starting now.
Manners is the family name of the Duke of Rutland. He is, in fact, married to a very lovely woman who is the daughter of Margaret Argyle and Charles Sweeney, she being the Duchess thereof.
And... Marvel challenge.
He sort of hesitated, didn't he? On one of the duchesses.
Yes, he was trying to make up some more relations. I don't know this. And so, Jimmy, I agree with your challenge, and you have 36 seconds to tell us something about manners starting now.
I was always told when I was a boy to stand up for anybody who was on the bus. And I was, when I was a child, forced by my mother to give up my seat whenever I saw an old-age pensioner or a pregnant lady. Or in...
Clement Freud, challenge.
Deviation has got nothing to do with manners. This is to do with maternal...
You're stuck.
Pressures.
Hmm. You'll obviously want to win the game.
No,
because I would disagree.
No,
I learned my manners. How did you learn your manners? Oh,
no,
sorry.
No, that was.
It's not manners.
It is. That is good manners, standing up for old age pensioners.
Not
and
being laid to
by
your
always done
mother.
It, I've always done it for you, Clement, so...
Yes, and... Right, and I stand up for Jimmy Melville on this occasion, metaphorically speaking, of course, and it also makes the score very equal as we carry on with 22 seconds with you, Jimmy. Manners starting now.
Of course, manners oil the machinery of society. Without manners, we would not exist. If I thought I could take it upon myself...
Paul Merton, challenge.
Deviation. I think, we could exist without manners.
I agree with your challenge, and you have 16 seconds to tell us something about the subject starting now.
There are certain things that are regarded as good manners. For example, standing up for people who may be less fortunate than yourselves or on public transport.
Jimmy Melville, challenge.
I don't think it's a socio-economic thing, is it? Less fortunate than ourselves. I mean, what's he getting on about?
Well, if
you don't have a means test before you give up your seat, do you? Can I have evidence of you?
Jimmy, I see your interpretation to do with money and means, and we are in a market-orientated society, so I give you a bonus point for an interesting challenge, but after all, people less fortunate could be crippled or something like that, so
he's
Paul
got
would stand
manners,
up for
hasn't he, Nicholas?
What's that?
I said you've got lovely manners.
Yes, and so Paul has
could
a...
Sincere,
I disagree with your challenge. Paul still keeps the subject. 6 seconds left. Starting now.
My parents drummed into me from a very early age the importance of good manners.
So as I said a little while ago, this was to be the last round, so let me give you the final score. What I love is the contribution they all make. The score, to my mind, is secondary. But Derek Nimmer, who often wins, came in fourth place. But only 1 point behind Jimmy Melville and Clement Freud, equal in second place. And there were only 3 points behind the one who has the most points this week. So we judge him to be the winner, Paul Merton. It only remains for me to say, on behalf of all four of them who've entertained the audience so well, and we hope the audience thank you very much, on behalf of Anne Lynn, who's kept the score and kept the stopwatch moving, and, of course, the creator of the game, Ian Messiter, our producer, Edward Taylor, and from me, Nicholas Parsons, we hope you've enjoyed it and will want to tune in again same time when we take to the air and we play Just a Minute. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye. Thank you.